Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
There used to be this, you know, maybe this train of thought 20, 30 years ago that you could trick the customer. And I don't think that's possible anymore. I mean, people are very smart and people are savvy and people will educate themselves or they will find the answer. And so, you know, Jason likes to say bad news doesn't get better with time. And you know, it sometimes helps to just front load that and say, hey, we're going through this and these are the steps that we're taking.
Running a business means solving problems. I tell you how the smartest entrepreneurs do it. Hi, I'm Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and this is Problem Solvers. When costs are going up, what do you do? Well, I mean, there's kind of the obvious answer here, which is that you have to raise your prices. You pass it along to the consumer. This is the thing that you see in the news everywhere. Every consumer is aware of this. They're like, oh, our costs are going up. And then they get angry and they're not always sure who to get angry at, but they usually get angry at the company, at the founder, if they know who the founder is, because they see their costs going up and money's tight and people are upset. And so if you are that founder, well, how do you handle that moment? What do you do? And if your costs are going up, then your revenues have to go up. Well, today I'm going to talk to two people, co-founders of GoRuck, who had to navigate exactly that. And their answer was transparency, to just be really clear and upfront with their consumer about what was going on. And they were not sure what was going to happen. But I think that their story could be very instructive for you. So I am here with Jason and Emily McCarthy, the co-founders of GoRuck. GoRuck is, they'll explain it better, but it's basically a big, heavy backpack. And I own one, and I love using my GoRuck, although I don't love how sweaty it makes my back. Maybe I'll ask them about that. But Jason and Emily, I am so happy to have you here on Problem Solvers. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, guys. First of all, is there a solution to... Explain what a rucksack is, explain what GoRuck is, and tell me if there's anything I can do about my extremely sweaty back, and then we're going to get down to business.
All right. I almost want to start with your really sweaty back, you know, and you sort of say that's good. You know, I mean, the goal is not to live inside the air conditioning your whole life and die with, you know, like this perfectly orchid style body. Like the body's anti-fragile. You got to use it. Part of that is sweat. Go sweat some more and you'll get stronger, healthier, happier. You'll feel better, all the things. And if a byproduct is your back gets a little sweat on it, you know, so be it. So the rucksack, put the weight in the rucksack, put the rucksack on your back and start walking. That's it. That's rucking.
Right. So you're walking with a heavy backpack. And the reason I love it, I will tell you, is because I hate running and I love walking. And I was looking for some way to add some more physical fitness to my life. And then I was introduced to the GoRuck rucksack and I put it on and I acclimated to 20 pounds on my back. And then it feels quite good. It's taking a walk. It doesn't strain me like running, but it feels like I'm doing something and yet I still get to enjoy walking around. That's my relationship to the rucksack.
What is it about the sweaty back that you don't like, Jason?
And let's be clear, when we're talking about a sweaty back, if for those who don't know, and we will get to the pricing thing in just a second, but it is, so you've got a backpack and it's heavy and it's flat up against your back. So if it's hot out, there's the place you're going to, a place I sweat the most is just like where this object is up against me. It feels just kind of uncomfortable and it's like trapped, you know, like I can't get, if I'm walking around and I'm sweaty, at least I have some breeze on me, but if I've got a heavy object up against me, there's no breeze on me. It just feels like a sort of compressed sweat.
Yeah. So two things. There is, you know, we increased the lumbar support in the lower side of it. I'll get out of the features and benefits really quickly, but it's just to say you can get a little bit of airflow. There's a slight offset. The physiological thing about rucking though, which is 2 million years old. We didn't invent it. you know, I learned it in the Army, M learned it in the CIA. We sort of paid those lessons in education forward through GORUCK. But you want the weight high and tight on your back. It feels a lot better. It feels like an extension of your back. As opposed to, I could offset that a ton and start putting heavier and heavier weights. It just becomes very uncomfortable. The more it moves on your back, the worse it is. So the farther off it is off your back, then the more it's going to move. So physiologically, you want it to be an extension of your back. And, you know, and rucking, it might be heavy, but 10 pounds is rucking and 125 pounds is rucking. And so you get to sort of pick your own adventure and your body gets to pick its response.
Yeah. I do 20 pounds. Sometimes I do 30 pounds, but that's a little much for my shoulders. So I do the 20. And you're right. It feels surprisingly steady. It doesn't feel like you're like lugging around weight because it does feel like it becomes part of your body. So maybe I just have to get over it. Maybe you're just telling me that I'm a softie. I'm a softie and I need to just sweat more.
We all got a shirt.
Yeah. Or rock without a shirt, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's true. I guess I could do that. And then different kind of sweaty back. All right, guys, take me into this moment when, and you know, GORUCK is, when people think of rucking, I think they think of GORUCK. You've really become the leading brand here in this space. And I know it's becoming more popular all the time. So take me into this moment when you've got a really loyal consumer base, you've got a lot of brand awareness, and now you're starting to get squeezed on costs and you're thinking you've got to raise prices. What was that like?
Head to the beach in Abercrombie's latest summer drop. New 100% linen shirts are perfect for breezy days by the coast. They're easy to layer and go well with our new sea fade shorts. For days spent on the water, pair the A&F Resort shirt with your favorite swim. Outfit your summer with Abercrombie in the app, online, and in stores.
Yeah, I mean, it's an uncomfortable thing, you know, but you have to pay attention to the details of the business or else you will go out of business. Like, you know, being loved and being respected and being great at brand and community and all that stuff is great, but, you know, people expect you to still stay in business. If it means something, then you have to figure that out. Like behind the scenes, you have to figure that out. And so it leads to uncomfortable and hard conversations. And we just choose to have those more in the open than what is kind of normal doctrine. So when you start to look at the cost side of the business, and every once in a while you have to audit it. And, you know, in times of chaos, as it has been for the last year and a half specifically, you know, it's been a lot of hard audits against what the hell is going on. And so that just led to, okay, well, what do we need to do and what do we have to do? And so audit the costs. And then it was, you know, then we got into the sort of, okay, well, we need to raise prices.
And Emily, I want to pick up from there. Like what, when you realize you've got to raise prices, that can't feel good. You're going to upset some people.
Yes, no, absolutely. In fact, when we first decided we were going to, you know, make this announcement, I manage our community, our 700 Ruck clubs. I'm in like close contact with a lot of people that are Ruck club leaders and people that have just been with us over the years. And a lot of them we've gotten to know personally through our events. And I started getting some messages coming in and a lot of people were saying like, oh, I'm so sorry that you're having to deal with this. You know, they come in like that. And I was like, oh, how bad is it? You know, but I went to the forums, you know, where this is taking place, you know, and honestly, it was like, if there was like one, you know, kind of angry person or, you know, someone doomsday, it was filled with hundreds more of thank you for this information. And it just, I think it goes to show you, I mean, there used to be this, you know, maybe this train of thought back in, you know, 20, 30 years ago that you could trick the customer. And I don't think that's possible anymore. I mean, people are very smart and people are savvy and there's lots of information. There's not as much gatekeeping as there used to be. And people will educate themselves or they will find, you know, find the answer. And so I think it, you know, Jason likes to say bad news doesn't get better with time. And And, you know, it sometimes helps to just front load that and say, hey, we're going through this, and these are the steps that we're taking. Here's what you can expect. Here's what's not changing. And just sort of having that conversation up front. I mean,
So this is what you did. Let's not jump over this. This is what you guys decided to do, which was that I assume you were looking at having to raise your costs some specific amount, and you were trying to decide exactly what to do about that. Do you just roll it out, or do you message it? And if you message it, then how do you message it? So take me into the decision making process of how to message it. How did you guys approach that?
It was never really there was never really thought behind, hey, we're just going to phantom do this one day. That's just sort of not our MO. I mean, I think for some context, look, it's, I'll get to the specifics of your question, which really matter, but the background is we're completely 100% family owned. So we don't have investors breathing down us to make next quarter's returns be whatever they are, for better, for worse, right? Mostly for better for us. And, you know, and we've been doing this since 2008. So we have a lot of trust built up. This isn't just some, hey, I've got a good idea today kind of a thing. So the details mattered enormously, which are, you know, we used our email list. So we sent out to 500,000 people and said, hey, we're going to raise prices. It's going to happen at this date. It's about a month off. Here's the why. We did this multiple times. At the end of all of those emails, I put my personal email address and I said, email me directly with any questions or feedback. And I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of notes back. And I'd say about 1% of them were negative, in line with what we saw on social media. 1% were negative. Hey, you're a capitalist pig. These prices should be lower already. And it's just like, okay, got it. Right. Thanks. And that's okay. Right. If you can't take that kind of fire, then, you know, you're probably in the wrong job. But we sort of made it personal and we leveraged the story, but we also gave people time to say, hey, these prices are going up at this time. And so there's no bait and switch. You have this amount of time. And from the business side of it, it also pulls demand forward. So you're able to kind of pull it forward from your most trusted people that have helped you get to where you're going. And that builds further trust. And it worked.
How long did you spend on the message? Like, was this something that you put a lot of thought into and tested out, or did you just kind of?
Nah, it took me about 15, 20 minutes and we sent it.
Yeah.
And you know, and it was like, hey, my personal email is on here. Just shoot me a note. And then I went on social and I answered every single comment of, well, I won't say every single one, but almost every single one. And, you know, it's like there's something to, and then you start to see people helping out as well. Cause we know a lot of these people, we know tons of them, even the anonymous ones on, say, Reddit. Like, I don't know who people are on Reddit, but they know who I am. And so, you know, they sort of start to give the message that you're giving them via email and the social post. And they sort of do a lot of the bidding to stop what are inevitable. The trolls are inevitable. And we just didn't see that many of them, though. It's a pretty straightforward way to do it. And I would highly recommend it as a blueprint to any of the other folks out there that this is the way you should do it.
Guys, I wonder if, oh, sorry, Emily, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to add, Jason, it just felt like a conversation with people you've known for a long time, you know, and you're just sort of catching them up on the latest.
Right.
And
Well, that tees up the thing that I was just going to say, which is that it almost feels like the reason why this was so easy was because of a lot of work that had happened leading up to it that wasn't actually related to this at all. It sounds like, because I know that you both are big community builders, that you are very active in meeting your consumer base. Emily, you're talking about running all of these like ruck clubs. So maybe we need to zoom out a moment, and I'd love your insight and guidance to other founders on what it means to be in touch with and building a community with your consumer so that they feel like they know you, you know them, and therefore when something changes in the business, they feel invested enough in you that they don't feel offended.
Jason might have like a different take on this, but we've worked you know, complementary with our different sort of skill sets and approaches over the years. But I can say that, you know, it really is just a factor of time and keeping those lines of communication open. Like, over the years, I've had people come to me with ideas and, oh, can you support me in this? And it really is a like trade-off situation where it's like, hey, you're there for them when they need it, and likewise, you know. And it's really this bond that we have with a lot of our people that have been with GoRec from the early days. I mean, like, it feels like a garage band back in the time. Like, we know these people personally, and they have done so much goodwill, like helping spread that, like, hey, we're real people. We make mistakes, you know, we go through tough times like anybody. And, you know, and I think another big thing is that we aren't, you know, we're living a life that is consistent with the values of our company. That, you know, there's not a lot of disconnect. Like, what you see what you get. And people, when they come visit our headquarters or meet us at events, like, you know, I hope and I like to think that they walk away being like, okay, that's a real person, you know?
Well, let's start and define what community means first off, okay? So a community and a forum are completely different things. There's no such thing as a Facebook community. It doesn't exist, right? It's not a thing. There's no such thing as a Reddit community, right? It doesn't exist. It's not to bash on those platforms specifically. It's just to say community is in the real world. And you have to invest in that. And if you do, that's where you get the strongest ties that bind people together. And so, you know, what does not work to, you know, advice, what does not work is 20 years later, you hire a chief community officer to fix something that you never cared about in the first place. If all you're trying to do is build a widget and sell a widget on various platforms, you know, when times gets tough, you've just only got mercenaries. They're only mercenaries that have bought from you. And yes, you can build this up over time, but you have to do something to inspire people. And the real world is what we've chosen. We've put on over 10,000 live events since 2010, and we have over 700 RUC clubs around the world. And these are sort of what we would call force multipliers. We send a special forces cadre to a street corner in cities all over the world. And, you know, we're building better Americans, we're building better people and teams. The RUC club leaders all over the country, all over the world, they meet up for just general social fitness with RUCs on, right? And they become sort of the force multipliers, meaning they're carrying the message, or they have more of a direct line with us because they're just more interested. This is how, you know, this is how it works. So it is all of this time and investment. You know, it's like a great athlete. Do you think that they were just born great and then, you know, game 7 of the World Series, they hit a home run? It doesn't work like that. There's millions of hours of reps that go into doing that. And so for us, it's just, this is the way of life that we choose and have chosen. And so it makes something like this, you know, all the buzzwords like authentic and on brand and all of these things, but it's really just us doing what we've done since the beginning with people that we know, love, and respect.
How do you get a consumer out into the real world with you or with other fans of your brand? You in a way, maybe someone could say, well, you guys have it easier because you have a product that lends itself very naturally to people getting together, because there's all sorts of fitness clubs that are already in existence. And so you're able to harness that cultural familiarity, and maybe that doesn't scale to other products or other areas of business.
So I don't know. That's the sort of, you know, it must be nice crowd, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it's like nobody ever did this with a quote backpack until we did. I mean, I drove all over the country. I've made laps around this country. I was like Tyler Durden in Fight Club, setting up running events all over the country and the world for years and years and years. How many miles did it take to build GoRec? All of them. How many hours? All of them. And that's what we cared about. That's how we chose to get out there and be around the people. So, you know, I mean, there's always a way. I can't give you a prescription. That's the real value of human leadership, but it's also following your passions. What are you passionate about? And go do more of that. I mean, there's always a way to bring people together. It doesn't have to be massively, you don't have to throw, you know, a party at a stadium, right? you can create. There's a million different ways to do it. If that's what you care about and that's what you're passionate about and you want real world community, then figure it out. That's really how to do it.
Jason, I think what Jason's talking about, we talk about this a lot, and how, you know, the easier kind of almost lazier thing to do each time is just to keep putting more, to make it bigger. You know, we used to be kids just went to the prom. Now they have the pre-party to the prom, and now there's pre-parties, you know, it's just like, it keeps just like getting more. And whereas the harder thing to do is to keep something pure and simple and distilled, you know. For example, we did in April a pop-up month of Rucks. Like every week we met with this partnership with a local business. It was mostly for women, and we were just going to do it for that month. Well, over the course of those 4 weeks, the women, we got to know each other, and they said, can we keep this going? So we're now in almost July, and we've met every Wednesday since starting. And that's sort of how that momentum. So you do have to show up. You do have to have some skin in the game. But it, like Jason said, it doesn't have to be this, you know, really expensive or fancy thing all the time.
Guys, I'd love to end this by zooming in on you two and your insights on the relationship that the founders have with their fans, their consumers. And the reason for that is because it sounds like the two of you are very visible and active inside of this community. Jason, you're giving out your email address and saying, email me personally. You guys are in the clubs, you're in the social media comments. Tell me what you want your GoRuck consumer to think of you as, and what your advice is to founders on how active a role they personally need to play in the relationship that people have with their brand.
That's a great question. I tend to look at it as like, I would never ask someone to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. You know, we have really sometimes difficult challenges that we've done over the years, and I've tried all of them except our hardest, which is the 48-hour selection, which if you ever watched our documentary on that, you would see why I haven't done it. But everything else I've tried. And I've suffered alongside with people. I've wanted to quit. You know, I've tested out the gear, you know, in ways that only someone actually, you know, rucking 50 to or 26.2 miles can tell you what it feels like after that. So I think it's sort of just wanting to live the life.
I think that GoRuck is an extension of who we are. And so, you know, if I go over to a friend's house or a friend throws a party and there's a bunch of people there, I'm not really sitting around wondering what they think of me. I'm just comfortable in that environment. And so I think that this is just an extension of that. We happen to have a business with a mission that we believe in deeply, with people in a community that we respect deeply, that we enjoy spending time with. And so, you know, how accessible or how not accessible? I mean, look, they can all find me if they want to. I mean, there's just times of feast or famine where it's, hey, here's this thing. Please, like, let me know what your thoughts are. I mean, there's idea gathering, and then there's sort of, you know, put your head down and work. And it comes and goes, but it remains an extension, and it remains a way, like our love letter to the world, if you will, is that this is how we choose to lead our own lives. So we are living the life. And I think that that shines through in every single way.
Well, Jason, Emily, I appreciate your insights, your candor, and your motivation for me to just go deal with my own sweaty back issues. I suppose in that spirit, if anyone goes out and has a sweaty back and has a better attitude towards it, you should reach out to me and I'll take your advice.
Jason, the only cure for that is a shower.
That's true. Which
or is, a dip well, in is, the pool.
That is right. We don't not a lot of pools here in Brooklyn, but I do have a shower.
Oh, so at least okay, gotcha.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Thanks.